Well, we gather again another year at South by Southwest. We're doing our late night podcast. This is the earliest and most sane we will sound.
That's right. This is as lucid as it gets, people.
I'm Bob Boylan.
I'm Robin Hilton.
I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Ann Powers.
And Ann, this is you're in for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at my clock right now. It's not quite 1 in the morning, and I'm thinking, wow, this is nothing.
I'm going to go back out.
Yeah, totally.
This is like tea time for me.
But we just finished our show at Stubbs, which we'll talk about in a minute. Some of us got here on Tuesday, and I don't know what you saw, but I know my first thing was jumping in with a Josh Ritter interview about his new novel, and that was terrific. Did that in front of an audience. What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And in fact, my very first shows were a group called The Boxing Lesson, and I liked them. And this woman had all these vintage synths, and they were pretty cool. I'm putting up a minute video of everything I see, so that's my goal. And then I invited Josh Ritter to come see Lost in the Trees, and this other guy, Adam Makaraji, I love, to come see Lost in the Trees. And they did, and it was wonderful. And Lost in the Trees is a group on my top five last year.
And then Adam and Josh, at the end of it, they walked out holding hands.
You weren't supposed to tell. And Lost in the Trees, a band I love. I've only seen it at our desk.
Did you even see the Tiny Desk concert?
I totally saw that one. Yeah. But I did not. I've never seen them live. A big challenge when you get a group with strings and sousaphones and French horns to like have a 30-second sound check.
Oh.
Anyway, they knocked it out of the park. People just loved it.
But that's how they did it back in the 19th century when sousaphones were everywhere.
So that's what I saw. And then, I saw other stuff, but...
You hit the ground running. So one thing we're doing differently this year at South by Southwest is we're webcasting these shows, not only audio, but live video as well. And, of course, to pull that off, to actually get the video signal from here to the rest of the world, you know, into outer space and to the rest of the world requires, you know, we had to get some really fat lines.
People have to fly in big... Yeah. Rocket ships, and so we
contracted with a company to get lines put in. So, Monday I get an email from our engineer saying lines aren't in yet. I'm like, okay, no worries. Tuesday I get in, and while Bob was seeing shows, I was scrambling trying to figure out how are we going to get connectivity because we still didn't have it Tuesday. We go live Wednesday night. So Wednesday, we still don't have connectivity.
This is hours before the show.
Yeah, so a little after lunch, or around 1 o'clock or so, I asked your engineer, and he said, nope, nothing. And I'm just thinking, okay, we'll get it figured out. And literally just a couple hours before we went live, we got the video connection, we got the lines in. Well, actually, not even physical lines. We ended up doing a wireless option.
Ended up being... a large tin can.
Yes.
With a
big
wire.
Megaphone.
But you know, this just makes you... and every American waiting for the cable guy to come.
That's right.
It totally was right.
So I didn't get to see any shows last night. Today I did steal a little time and I saw Typhoon. And
I can't wait to see them.
They were amazing, amazing enough that I'm going to have to see them at least one or two more times.
Really? Oh, that's so exciting.
Do you do that? Do you see bands you love?
Do you not do that?
I never.
Well, I do that.
Bob, you don't even sit through. You sit through two songs and then you're on to the next show.
I'm in the ADD.
Same thing? You do?
Yeah, I'm like a runner. I'm a crazy runner here at South by Southwest, trying to see five or six things at once. If you look at my schedule, you'll see simultaneous cloning experiments going on with me.
No, I look and I'm like, okay, yuck, 1 to 2. All right, then what's at 2?
I definitely find myself having this, like, I almost want to leave, like, a little memo on my iPhone to be like, pause to enjoy this.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you get there... it's really easy to immediately start thinking about the next thing, and you never actually stop and have a full-blooded experience. And I actually got to see one full set, other than obviously the stuff we did at Stubbs. I saw Jeremy Messersmith, who I talked about at our end of the year podcast last year, and I talked about how much I absolutely love this record he put out called The Reluctant Graveyard. And he came out and he was like, we didn't drive 22 hours for nothing, and he brings out a string section and lines them up in front of his band. So he's got like his, you know, four-piece band and then a four-piece string section, and these impeccable, perfect pop songs come out with all these strings, and it was just for like a day party. It was fantastic.
What is it with all these giant band string sections, sousaphones?
Well,
what's going on?
I didn't
Banana
say this
costumes.
About Typhoon, But they had a string section, a horn section. There must have been like 15 people. Yeah, I mean, there was a dozen people at least on stage. And, you know, it made me think of Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. What a big, joyful band they are. That's what Typhoon is. Just this huge, joyful, just such a celebration of life and music.
Does that mean I'm not going to be able to watch TV without hearing their songs in every commercial?
Yeah. This time, yeah, next year, it'll be their turn.
So are you guys going to try to see any of the buzz bands, like Cults, this week?
I like Cults a lot. I've been listening to their CD, so I am going to try to see them.
But I
didn't tell you about the banana. You read me a reference to my banana costume band.
Banana out of the bag.
Now, wait, did you attend a band wearing a banana costume, or did you attend a band while
wearing a banana costume?
I actually have photos of the band from Colombia, electronic duo whose name means son of a...
Right.
Son of a banana.
And they were just fairly terrific.
But what were they called? I mean,
they were called... This is just
come
terrible.
On, do it, man. It's first night.
Hupuchas.
De Hupuchas?
D-E. And then the next word is J-U-E-P-U-C-H-A-S. Yeah, so that's it. Everybody at home, pronounce it.
Google,
ready?
One, Google 2, 3. Colombian banana suits.
That's right. And they were terrific. Admiral Fallow, I saw you at the Admiral Fallow show, a song and band that you recommended.
Yeah, we talked about this band before, South by Southwest. And I was definitely like sort of a Scottish, for lack of a better term, sort of a Scottish Mumford and Sons, that kind of kicky, stompy, but with a big, thick brogue. So it's kind of Scottish music that is infused with Americana.
Did they live up
with
to
thick
it for you?
Americana? I really liked them a lot. I mean, I had only really heard the one song, "Squealing Pigs," that we had played on the show, right. And it was definitely a highlight of their set. But
yeah,
they had other
too.
Good songs. I want to hear their whole record. I
did leave early to see the guys in the banana suit. I'm just saying. I mean, I did like them, but speaking of kicking, stomping, if you haven't seen Trampled by Turtles.
I did see Trampled by Turtles, and I love them. And I've been wanting to.
They're from Minnesota.
We're going to have them in for it. We got to have them in for a
Tiny
Desk.
Oh, boy. Fantastic mandolin player. They rock and they kick. I like them a lot.
They didn't even play their best song. That's another one, actually, I did see the whole set on. And they didn't even play their best song.
They're saving it for the day party.
Now I'm going to have to do what Robin does and just go see them again and again.
Yeah.
But just that, basically, like sort of like the Avett Brothers, but the fast part and not as pretty.
I miss the pretty of the Avett Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Avetts have a little bit on the songwriting end over from what I heard. And
there's not as much sort of wisdom. I mean, the Avett Brothers songs have sort of wisdom to them. This is a little bit more just like speed.
Yeah. Speed is good.
So we haven't talked about might end up being one of the most exciting things that
we've done the
entire time here, which is... What was that? You've been seeing too much music today already.
Are you talking about Anne and me interviewing Crystal Bowersox?
Yes.
The highlight of our lives.
I have already forgotten.
How could you forget? No, I mean, it was just amazing. We got We got to go and see...
His name is Jack.
Insert joke.
Yeah, keep filibustering.
So... We got to go see Jack White drove his Third Man Records truck down here, and we got to go see this truck that he has tricked out. It is just a music lover's paradise. He's got turntables and a mixing desk and all these shelves mounted to the insides of the truck holding records.
It's tricked out on the outside it is this gleaming yellow
and black
just monolith.
It sounds even better than my cousin Donnie's RV, which is really pretty amazing, frankly.
Well, I mean, even the glass, this doesn't have the AstroTurf in the bottom.
The doors have glass windows that are round that look like records and have grooves in it that are, I mean, every detail in the thing. But
on top of the fact that you saw his truck, la-di-da.
He showed us around, and he told us about how...
Did he get you in
and
the back seat?
We got to see him do a couple songs. It was just amazing, including Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground. I mean, it was like...
And Buddy Holly's Not Fade Away.
He stepped out of the truck, and by this point, through the magic of social media, a large crowd had formed around his truck.
We did tweet. All
songs, at all songs.
Ah, excellent.
And I don't think that was the only reason. Like a zillion people
really?
Shut up.
There were a bunch of people beforehand, and when I got there, I thought, man, you know what? This is a secret show, but word gets out somehow.
I can't remember who it was.
And then I find that Bob had actually tweeted the...
I can't remember who it was.
It
might have been our producer, Mike Cassif, who said this, who was standing next to me and said that, likened it to the U2 Where the Streets Have No Name video.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, this massive... And the awful thing is there were people who needed to use the parking lot.
Oh, no.
Right. In the middle of Jack White's set, the parking lot attendant is knocking on the van, telling him that you got to stop. You got to stop. And, of course... It didn't, it and it was really great. Force. He brought out this fellow called C6 Steve, a new signee. Jack said he signed the contract by signing Jack's desk in ink.
Yep. And this C6, he's an English guy, right? He's actually
He's an older guy.
He's an older guy.
See, I don't think he was English.
He's kind of a troubadour, kind of a wanderer.
I thought he was nominated for a Mercury Prize last year.
I could see that. I think
something.
He has a more of a following overseas, but he's definitely American. And he played a three-string
thing,
beat-up guitar,
like beat to hell guitar.
Awesome.
And he just played one song, stomping on a box. And
he could easily have been someone you would have walked by on a corner playing
exactly
music.
Exactly what I was thinking.
But I would have stopped.
Yeah. His box that he stomped on was like a little, it was bigger than a cigar box, a little crate. Had a little license plate on the front of it.
Mississippi,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, how
do
we forget?
But, you know, Jack White, he is just living the music lover's dream.
He is living everybody's dream. I mean, that guy has basically clearly reached a point in his life in which he can and will do whatever he wants to do.
And he's sharing it.
And he's sharing it, which is wonderful.
And here's the other thing. You know, it's so nice to see someone who's reached his level of success still genuinely love music so much, and just the whole art of it, and the artistry of the musicians, and
well, his love of tangible music, love of music as art,
and it's just very, very genuine. This is not a gimmick or whatever.
Right.
This is,
maybe Jack White will hook up with Crystal Bowersox, who's moving to Nashville. He could be the source of the transformation that she is seeking. It could happen.
That's right. You know, Ann Powers and I.
We actually tag-teamed on it. Steven saved my life today because I was supposed to interview Crystal Bowersox, former American Idol runner-up, current band.
But better than you would think from the words American Idol runner-up.
Yeah, she's actually a genuinely solid
singer-songwriter. Bob is giving a look. Very solid singer-songwriter.
Excellent voice.
Big voice.
Yeah, and...
Let's hear a little Crystal Bowersox.
No, but seriously, I recommend the song Mason, which actually she co-wrote with her husband Brian Walker. But anyway, I was on a plane, or trying to get on a plane in Dallas, had to get to this interview, and I'm frantically texting. And Steven was my knight in shining armor. He ran in and he was ready to do the interview.
Swooped in to, on 45 minutes notice, interview Crystal Bowersox on stage. But fortunately, you and she were both so late.
Unfortunately, from the look on your face, I
was like, this is my moment.
He could have been the next American Idol interviewer. But
that's right.
Anyway, I thank you so much.
So we wound up interviewing her together on stage, which was a lot of fun. Though the only downside to the Crystal Bowersox experience is I had to walk away from a band I really, really liked. Snack on that. A band called Givers.
Oh, I like Givers a lot.
They're on my calendar
Boy, was that... First of all, they opened with the song that I put, you know, that I put on the Austin 100 that I had discovered, you know, that I'd heard from that group of 1,600 songs I ended up listening to.
They were on last year's
as well, and I might have even seen them last year and forgotten.
What are they like? I haven't seen them.
How would you like kind of a worldly?
Yeah, upbeat, good, poppy,
upbeat with slightly sort of Africanish guitars.
They're doing it from
they're New Orleans based band,
I believe,
right?
So they're one of those like kind of big bands from New Orleans, and for me, one way that you can win me over is if in that sort of rock band setting you have the singer up front playing an extra drum kit.
Yes,
that's usually
like that.
A very, very good sign as far as whether I'm gonna love a band. So Givers was
just a drum kit as opposed to someone standing with a laptop.
I love having
a real drummer.
James Blake had a real drummer tonight, actually.
Yeah, I think that makes all the difference. You can be a great laptop musician, but like if you had a live drummer, that makes all the difference.
Yeah, that James Blake on our show tonight was was the best thing I've seen today.
Really? Really? I thought it was beautiful. I wasn't I don't know if it was the best thing I saw today because I saw a bunch of really great stuff.
Yeah.
But he, it's interesting. I was saying when, you know, when we were writing about it that he kind of battles both very high expectations and very low expectations.
Huh.
He has the high expectations from the standpoint of he's one of the big sort of buzz artists at this festival.
No one's seen him. He's never been
No
here.
One's seen him. Right. He's a really young guy. Don't even entirely know what he looks like. He's got these kind of these kind of foggy press photos.
Right, and his record got like an 83 on Metacritic, a really high score from all the critics.
Yeah, very, very well-reviewed record. But at the same time, I think there were low expectations from a standpoint of, is this guy going to exude more stage presence or less stage presence than I exude when I'm sitting at my laptop?
Right, exactly.
And what's your verdict?
My version is more than the laptop, mm-hmm. less than the best thing I saw today, but I quite liked it. And there were moments I thought were really breathtaking.
Stunning moments
beautiful,
of music.
Beautiful,
very
beautiful.
Lovely, beautiful, delicate, and at the same time, these bass tones that I could feel in my feet.
It rattled my kneecaps a couple times.
And the voice, the voice reminds me of Anthony Hegarty, of Anthony and the Johnsons.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful, androgynous voice. And here's this white English guy taking on African-American idioms. And
this very, really, very young. He looked about 14.
I think he's
22.
It's not... It's dangerous territory sometimes for a young white guy to take on the soul tradition, but I think he made it into something internal and spiritual that was very beautiful. And then we had Rafael Sadiq saying, hey, this is how you do classic soul that's going to make you dance. And I was up and dancing during that set. I was really happy to have a chance to get in the front of the crowd and shake it with Rafael, who sounds like a young Stevie sometimes, or some of those songs are like Chuck Berry on that new record, Stone Rollin'. I was really excited to see Rafael.
He killed it, and we kicked off the night with Yuck, and at one point, the kids in the band, they said, well, of course, this is the most people we've ever played to before, and backstage beforehand... Amy Schrieffer, one of our coordinators, was back there with the band, and she said that they were just freaking out. So they were just like, because they were so nervous, and she was talking them down.
I think she's so used to talking me through introducing these bands on stage. she's used to sort of that.
They
kind of,
were pro though.
They were great.
I
did not
believe they were such
a
young band.
I could listen to those droning. I don't guitars just mean, for hours.
Oh, I was standing
great
next
pop
to
songs.
I was standing next to Mike Katz, our producer, and he is a big Yuck enthusiast. He's
the
one who was just beating the drum for Yuck over and over again. And he was standing next to me, and they closed with this amazing like 7-minute song called Rubber. And Mike was just sitting here, just like, please don't end, please don't end.
And it was just
remember the '90s.
Just this eruption of sound, and they were down on the ground playing with the knobs on their guitars. Great.
Yeah.
Then we had James Blake. Smith Westerns we had last year, and I thought they killed it too.
I think their songs have gotten better.
Yeah.
There were some true... They actually had almost kind of a girl group feel.
A group that girls would like also.
Prettiest hair in music.
Lovely hair.
Very pretty band and pretty song. Very pretty pop.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
pop rock song.
George Harrison lives in his own way inside of Smith Westerns.
Right, and all that kind of bubblegum pop that, you know, that kind of... classic Archie's almost stuff, which I love. You know, I really dig that stuff.
But that's mixed with like a rock band.
Yeah,
they're definitely a rock band. But there were just elements of these very throat. I mean, I wasn't sure if it was girl groups or the Archies or what it was, but it was
very glam,
very elemental.
Yeah.
Classic.
It's the same place the Ramones reached to make their pop songs. I mean,
totally.
The Ramones did it with more energy and more guitar
and more
aggression.
Yeah, but it's that same loveliness. It made them not just another, made them a more memorable band from that era, I think. Than
and the crowd was really into them, don't you think?
Yeah,
yeah.
What a great
night! So we shot video of all these. The videos are archived on the site. You mentioned Rafael.
But that's a short time on the video. Not all the videos won't be up forever. We'll have songs from all of the videos.
Right.
So go watch them now.
And be sure to check out Rafael Sadiq, the woman in his band. She's on the right side of the stage.
She's so great.
I couldn't.
Her move, she did not stop moving. Amy, again, backstage of the band beforehand, said that the woman in the band was pulling her knees up to her chest and stretching out, and she was jumping up and down, like literally like a boxer getting ready to go in to the ring. just so that she could get herself in character for that, because, man, those moves.
Funk is an athletic endeavor.
And the whole band was just killing it that, too.
And I'll say, my impression of Rafael Sadiq going into this show is that he's this very impeccable, very sort of perfectly tailored guy who kind of plays perfectly tailored music.
Right.
But once he had that big, full band behind him, I mean, there were just buckets of sweat.
Absolutely.
And, layers kept coming off.
Yeah.
You know, he was in a tank top by
the
end of the show.
I enjoyed that.
Dude's cut.
But I didn't think that was necessarily... I didn't know that that was in his repertoire, given that I'd only seen him in these kind of sit-down performance environments like a Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah, that was a surprise for me, too.
I was saying to Bob that when I first started following Rafael Sadiq many years ago, I felt he didn't quite have a handle on how to make his music emotionally powerful, and he's really developed that side of him in his 40s, which is sort of amazing. He's a grown man. He shows the value of a grown man. We had a lot of boys on that stage tonight. A girl. I was happy that a grown man closed it out.
Excellent. Well, we have... I'm going to more shows tonight.
Yeah, I'm going back out.
Who are you going to see?
I'm not sure. I'm actually
Bob's
not
gonna
sure.
Bob's going to go back and see the rest of Duran Duran.
This is Planet Earth.
I've got five different choices, and I'm going to...
At 103, you have five different choices.
Yeah. Welcome to South by Southwest. Yes.
And we'll be back tomorrow, a little more harried.
Or a little later.
A little more hairy.
Yeah, I don't shave while I'm down here the whole time.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Or shower.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Bob.
Hasta la vista, baby.